I know this for a living. Been doing it for 15 years. Play the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
One track closes, another one opens. Some big places, some dumps. And I've met all kinds of characters. But believe me, pal, you are the champ. I really hope you win. Yep, you're the greatest I've ever seen. I'll tell my grandchildren about you.
Thanks.
It's true that all the men you knew were dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. I know that kind of man. It's hard to hold the hand of anyone who's reaching for the sky just to surrender. Who is reaching for the sky just to surrender. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter.
Hi and welcome, this is Andrew. Hi and welcome, this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
This is Andrew. And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Damian.
This is Douglas. And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
I mean, for the movie we're about to talk about, it feels good for us to do this raw and uncut and just not try and like me edit around the nonsense we do with these podcasts.
Would you say this is a gem of a podcast?
I mean, it possibly could be. It's the beginning. We don't know if it will be, but all podcasts to me are gems.
I suspect we're highly overvaluing ourselves in this one.
So, what Andrew's saying is that he likes it raw.
Are you guys trying to cue me in a Wu-Tang song for this episode?
Me and Douglas are actively dancing to the song playing in our heads because we're not good people.
Anyways, we are here this week to discuss the latest film from the Safdie brothers, One Uncut Gems.
I made a crazy risk, a gamble. And it's about to pay off. So I want the Celtics to cover. I want the Celtics halftime. I want Garnett points and rebounds.
What do you know?
I don't know. I just know.
Well, I'll tell you what I know. That's the dumbest fucking bet I ever heard of.
I disagree, Gary.
The cinematic opus in which Adam Sandler plays a diamond jeweler gambler who continues to find himself deeper and deeper in debt. The movie begins with him $100,000 in debt and continuing
he also owed, apart from his cousin, he owed the other two random guys that he gave the fake watch to. He owed them $100,000 too.
They don't count as people.
Fair enough.
He continues to make the most ludicrous bets and at the same time attempting to sell off this uncut gem that he brings in from Africa. Damien, yes. I can tell you that in the last 2 years I have been forced and inundated with more basketball information than I ever thought I would have, having had you as a friend throughout my childhood. However, I feel I didn't understand basketball as much until I saw the final scene of this movie with Adam Sandler cheering on KG, Kevin Garnett, a man who I've never seen play basketball outside of this movie.
He's been retired for a while now.
Correct. Is this movie the most basketball, the most Adam Sandler, or is it just an okay Safdie?
It is the most Adam Sandler. He does this once every decade or so. He comes out of hiding. And by hiding, I mean shitty Netflix movies. And just like, oh yeah, no, I mean, I still can act. I don't want to. because I don't have to. But
people don't pay me to usually.
I mean, Sony and Netflix does, but he only has to be the same jackass he's been in all his other movies, and everyone will tolerate it. Which, I mean, I understand if doing the bare minimum gets you paid millions of dollars, then that's what you do most of the time. I get it. But he, every now and again, he comes and he's just like, I can still act. I can put on a suit, come out of these jean shorts, and, you know, play an actual person that is not the persona I've developed all of these years. And most of the times, I'm not impressed when he does that. His dramatic turns are not... Most of those movies have been bad, in my opinion. I know you guys disagree on one movie specifically. I don't care. This movie, though, I really did enjoy his performance. I didn't enjoy the previous Safdie movie as much as I enjoyed this, which I don't think will be the case with Andrew. But I did enjoy this movie. And I enjoy it for all the things Andrew enjoyed the previous movie for. It is frenetic. The pace never lets up in this movie. There are quiet spots, but the quiet spots are only there so that what happens next seems even more ridiculous. And it is just, this movie is just one man in a, let's say, a 1 week span making the worst decisions. One after the other after the other. He has built an entire house of cards and it is collapsing on him. And everything he thinks he can do to, you know, buy himself more time, which is essentially what he's doing, is not working out. There's one thing in particular that I enjoyed the most about this movie. This is when you find out that Adam Sandler and the main antagonist, which is this bookie, are actual family. That is where I went, all right, movie. I like all the decisions that you've made, I approve of. He's left his wife for some young girl who he's only with because she's young and pretty, which I get it. And it is when he's at his lowest, he's like, I'm going to turn my entire life around. And the second he is presented with an opportunity to save himself, he's just like, no, never mind. I'm good with this new dumb life that I've created for myself. And it just keeps spiraling. It starts out bad and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And his decision making, while consistent, leaves him in shittier and shittier situations. I enjoyed Lakeith's performance. I enjoyed KD's performance. The reason I like Lakeith's performance in this is because most of his movies, he's playing someone that is eccentric. There's none of that in this. He's just a peddler of gold chains and like a glorified hype man, and he does it very well. He's like DJ Khaled.
Here to see the weekend.
Yeah.
Essentially, what you're saying is that he's been too much Andre 3000,
right?
Like the Love Below,
right?
And now you appreciate that he can be Andre 3000, Southern playalistic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man. Right. Yeah. Before he was on when he's proving that he's part of Outkast, and not just Andre 3000. And I appreciated that. It is infuriating that Kevin Durant has not aged a day in the almost decade since he's been playing basketball. Because that man looks exactly the same as he does at 25, 30, 35, 40, and 40. Like, that man is not aging, and I do not approve.
All right, so I'm just going to raise my hand quickly and do a basketball question. Sure. Did you mean KG?
KG. What did I say?
Yeah, you said Durant.
You said Kevin Durant.
Sorry. KG.
I just want to make sure those are two different
people. Yes, they are.
Because it's really Kevin Garnett.
Right.
But I was worried. I wasn't going to say anything because I'm like, you know what? Damian knows basketball more than me. Clearly, I misheard the whole time.
Right.
I was like, was Kevin Durant like playing in one of the games? Like, so, saw you.
Yeah, I mean, KG and KD. I mean, there's a difference. Basketball people aren't really great with coming up with nicknames. I enjoyed watching Garnett basically play himself. It's always fun to see him in roles because all you see him as is either as a professional basketball player or no, he's like a pseudo-analyst. Like, he's not one of these people in the jackets. He has his own show where he's just loud and running up and down all the time. And so watching him, like, essentially get to play him, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a
pundit?
Oh, stylized. Okay,
himself. Yeah, stylized version of himself is really fun. And
I love the scenes where he's just, like, fawning for the story.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, yeah, that's true. Like, because there are athletes who have talismans, like, they don't talk about it until after they've come, but they're just like, listen, this is all of the bullshit that I used to do because when I did these things I won. And then there's people who are just like, dog, I went out there to murder people. Like, I didn't have time to come up with routines and
but
this
I love
that.
I love the guys that are, they did those things, mm-hmm. but they also recognize, right? Like, Gary Lineker is one of them.
Yeah.
When he talks about what he used to do, he's like, all right, listen, I know.
Yeah.
All right? I know.
I'm aware that this is dumb.
Let me just tell you what I used to do. Things like, he had the same pair of shoes because those shoes score good. And when they mash up, he sent them to Adidas or whoever
to have them
repaired.
Yeah,
like, shit like that. Yeah, and, you know, he's like, listen, if I went out there and I practiced and I didn't score a goal, I changed my shoe because those shoes never work.
Yeah, man. They're bad shoes. That, you know? Right. I love those stories.
Yeah.
Because you watch them all the time and you don't really get that. And then you, and so now when they tell you these stories, you look back and you're just like, oh no, you're an idiot.
Of course. But
because you're a child.
those guys like Lineker who recognize and they'll tell you it does work simply because
you think it works.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter, like, the thing doesn't matter. What matters is that the thing gives you confidence.
Right.
And once you have confidence, because you already have the skill, right? Mm-hmm. Once you have the confidence in that skill, then you're going to do whatever you need to do.
This is why I've always been a fan of Giroud, because it doesn't matter if he never scores a goal. I've never seen that kind of psychotic self-confidence in someone that isn't that good. Like, he has the confidence of Ronaldo, but he's not Ronaldo. And players like that, like Arsenal had a lot of it. Like, Nicolas Bentner was another one. Someone that was straight trash, but believed he was the beyond end all. Nani had that until he played Messi in that Champions League final. And Messi teleported. And he's just like, I can't play football anymore.
Send me to Valencia. Yeah. I never want to
I really do appreciate that level of self-confidence. But the thing I like about this movie is that it is a very simple movie telling a very simple story. But it is paced well. The acting is done well. The direction is done well. Even though this movie, I think, is more than 2 hours, it doesn't feel like that. The movie draws you in and keeps you engaged the entire time. At the beginning, there's like, oh, this is how we got the stone. They're at like some mine, and then two guys veer off to go dig the stone. And part of me was like, please don't let this be what that kind of movie. I don't want anybody talking
about
Blood
Diamond.
Yeah, that is not what I came here for. And the movie's just like, yeah, we know. It's not what you came here for.
Damien, the movie opens.
Yeah.
You get to see these people ransack this mine.
Mm-hmm.
You stare into the gem.
Yep.
and then you come out Adam Sandler's asshole. Right? That is how this movie starts.
Right, but you don't really know that until that sequence is over, and then you're just like, movie, make sure that this is the way you're going. And the movie's like, no, we got you. I really enjoyed this movie. I am upset that I didn't see this movie for a year end. This would have made my top 10. Not sure what I'd have taken off, but I feel strongly that this would have been, it wouldn't be near the top of the top 10, but it would have comfortably made my top 10 because this movie is really good. It's so good, in fact, that I am tempted to go back and watch the other movie with Robert Pattinson.
Oh,
do it.
Good time?
Good times.
Yeah.
Do it.
I really should give that movie another chance because it also helps that you can see their love of basketball while watching this movie. And they've already in promoting this movie come on damn near every basketball podcast. And when you hear them talk, it is genuine affection and excitement for the sport that I feel the same way as them, but not as, because I don't live there. There's always something to live in a place where your team is good. When Jamaica was good for the 13 days they were good at football, there was a tangible sense of pride.
By good, you mean just enough above the bar to be one,
to make it to the World Cup. Did we win a game in the World Cup?
Against Japan?
It doesn't matter. Sure. Can we beat Japan today?
No.
All right. Take what we can get, Douglas. Also, we were coming off the heaviest beating of our lives. So just give this to us. Okay? We thought Deion Burton was good. All right? It was a dark time.
I remember when
it was a dark time. We try not to think of it.
Deion Burton was my favorite.
Of course he was, because didn't know any better. Let's never talk about...
And then Messi said hello.
Let's never talk about the 98 team again.
Was Messi in that team? Messi was not in that team.
No, Messi was like...
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
Stop it. The man would have been 13. Exactly. What are you talking about? He's good. He's not time travel good. Batistuto was in that team.
Yeah.
He should be time travel good.
Yes, and Ortega...
I'm trying to see if I can find a lineup for that game. Here it is.
Yes.
Ortega, Lopez... Mm-hmm. Batistuto, Zanetti, Veron, Simeone, Sensini. Oh my God. Yeah. I haven't heard that name in a long while.
You know what is truly sad about this conversation? I saw this match sometime last year. Because I have this match. Like, I just have football matches on my computer. There's this time I'm like, I should go watch. And then I do, because I'm a mad person. But this movie... The movie is one of those movies where everything that the directors wanted to get done, they got. Like, the thing that you don't like about this movie, you are never intended to like about this movie. And there...
Wait, hold on. What is this thing you
don't
like about
this movie? No, I'm saying, if you're a person, it's like the Fury Road thing, where there's people who didn't like Mad Max, but they were never... Like, there's no part of that movie to like for them. It is holistic. You either see that movie and your body says no, or you see that movie and like, you give me that movie. And there's no nitpicking. Like, you don't watch those movies and go, yeah, but they could have. There's no but they could have in this movie. You either enjoy this movie or it wasn't for you, and you'd have known that pretty early. It does infuriate me, though, that I have to put some respect on Adam Sandler's name. I do not like that man. I don't like the movies he makes. I don't like the fact
like
that he's this
those
famous.
Just like those people on Fury Road, Adam Sandler doesn't want you until he comes to these movies.
And Damian, remember, you don't. Mm-hmm. Nobody messes with a Zohan.
Yeah, okay? I wasn't a Zohan person.
I know. Yeah. That was the last one that I actually
He's like... He's like... White Tyler Perry. Like, that is what he is.
That is what
those
he
are
is.
The movies
yeah,
he
yeah,
makes.
You're right.
That is the audience that he caters yeah. to. And I get that. And it's not for me. And so what I want him to do is stay over there where I don't have to see stupid face. It's why whenever Tyler Perry comes in real movies, I'm like, get the fuck out of the people and move. You're too
but you
rich.
Know, you know what
you have everything. Leave.
You know what the worst part about it, but Damien, is? Watching this movie, I can't envision anyone else but Adam Sandler being this person.
No, I could see other people.
And it's not, and it's not just because of how well he acts it, but the character itself. Now, it's quite possible that a lot of that shit could have been written around whoever it was, and they wrote it into because they got Adam Sandler. But there's a level of annoyance they have, this character have, with everyone he interacts with, that a part of me is like, this feels like he got, this person was ripped directly from those shitty Adam Sandler comedies.
I mean, I know.
And they just,
I know this is
they
probably,
just gave him like a good dramatic version.
This is probably recency bias, and we've been talking about him a lot, but Caleb Landry Jones could have killed this. He could have played a real piece of garbage.
He's so good.
I mean, they'd have to age him up a little.
Yeah, I was about to say, the only problem with that is he's young and he's tiny. But
in terms of his physicality, you're just like, yeah, he's he's straight garbage. Mm-hmm. He'd have made all of these decisions. Mm-hmm. These are all terrible decisions. You just make the children younger and his girlfriend younger.
What would happen is...
But it'd all be trash.
You could make him not be as... Well off is a strong word, because this guy is in some trouble.
Yeah.
But make him not as not successful. Prominent.
Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't own his own business. He works for somebody.
I know. He
doesn't have
the
big
business.
Something like that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's true.
Right.
Because,
like, this
Caleb
is the
Andrew
thing
Jones
to put him over the top.
He would be perfect.
Yeah.
He needs to be in more movies.
Yeah. We both agree on this. There's probably some other people too, but listen, that's not to take away from Sandler's performance. I want to take away from Sandler's performance. I don't like this man. I don't want him in any more of my movies. He needs to respect me enough, and I need to respect him enough to stay out of each other's way. I don't watch his shitty Netflix movies. He doesn't come in my good movies. And we move on. Right? Tyler Perry the same. That is all I ask. But he came in this movie and he killed it. Like, everybody killed it. This movie is well made to the point where I mean, we were already looking forward to, the Safdie brothers making more movies. But this has, like, pushed them up the list, where the first thing I will look for now is to see if their name is on it. And then flatly ignore, because they did this with Sandler. And if you're ever going to fuck this up, this would have been the time. And they didn't. They had Adam Sandler and a basketball man. Two people not known for acting. And they nailed it. And so I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. It would have been top 10 last year.
Wow.
This was definitely in my top 10 last year.
We remember. And we kept it off the overall top 10.
Yes.
And
because I loved one movie more. Because I loved one movie more.
I don't regret
and
my
I
decision.
Pushed it hard. You guys were like, all right, Andrew, it's your decision. Uncut Gems or that. And I went, I like that one more. And I look forward, now that I know that a movie is available for us, I know Douglas won't watch it until we put it on the list.
About?
First love. Yes. I know Douglas won't watch it until we put it I throw it into the spreadsheet. But I hope Damien will. Yeah, Damien will probably watch
Definitely.
It on his own time, and hopefully he'll come back and say good things to Douglas to then chide Douglas into watching
it. Because
I don't know if we're going to actually put it into the spreadsheet.
I'm not going to say Takashi Miike is somebody who I go out of my way for, but he's probably net positive. So. I'll think about it.
And I think they are good movies to pit against each other, because they're the same type of movie. They're just lunacy. They're just ramped up craziness one scene after another. But coming back to Uncut Gems, right, stepping away from Takashi Miike, as I'd like to talk about him for another hour and a half, the Safdie brothers has immediately become my new go-to favorite young boy filmmakers that I can't wait to see the next thing they do. I love how they make their movies. I love that they, and I know for this movie, like, this was like a big touchstone for them, where they now have Adam Sandler in their film and the big budget to a certain degree, where you could tell that no longer could they film on a New York street and just not tell anyone. They probably had to cheat a few scenes and had to beg Sandler to be like, all right, I'm okay with doing this. And they had to do more soundstage stuff. But I love their sense of almost guerrilla filmmaking in how everything comes together. I love that these guys feel like people which are just straight out of New York 70s grunge movie making. And they make their movies feel like it. Yeah. And I love it. I adore, to the point where these guys are the kind of people who are the ones who are making stars, I almost want to call it. Because you talk about Adam Sandler, like, he is a known property, and as much as we'd like to say this is a surprising turn for him, it's something he's done before to be this good. I mean, I question as to whether this is his best, his definitive best.
It's not. Which one? Right? Waterboy is a perfect movie. But let's pick Waterboy up.
Billy Madison. It's all Billy Madison.
That's the same card.
But more to the point, like, there are people in this movie who you would have never heard of. People like Julia Fox, who this is, I believe, her literal first credit. The one who plays the girlfriend.
Yeah, she's real good.
Right? And she's real fucking good in this movie. To the point where, like, she has, like, the big finale scene mm-hmm. and everything. And I just love that whole thing as to how it plays out. I don't really want to go too far into it. But, Damien, we talk about the escalation of this movie. I rewatched this movie a week ago, and the thing that got me was, I want to compare this movie to a movie I know you don't like, but I think we talked about this to a certain degree. Todd Haynes' Safe.
Yes.
Right? I know you don't love this movie, but we had talked about this a while back, where you kind of got to me as to why I like this movie. And I explained it to be that I think it's the first time where I'm seeing an acting performance so great that it made me actually rethink how I felt about certain things in the world, right? Specifically about just general diseases that I don't fully understand,
right?
There were pieces of this movie where I feel, more than any Oscar bait trash piece of garbage gambling addiction movie, I come more honestly to understanding what gambling addiction really is, other than the paper. The paper definition.
Yeah, man.
Right? Like, there are scenes in this movie where Adam Sandler, not just into his bad decision making, but just watching him ride the high of watching these games.
Yeah. It is,
comes to me more clearly as to how gambling addiction is a thing.
Yeah, it is scary.
Than I think I have ever thought about it. Like, there's so many times when there are parts of me that's embarrassed to say this out loud. So many times where I hear people talk about gambling addiction, and it might be just from the context of said Oscar bait trash movies that do the same idea, where I'm like, just don't gamble.
Yeah. 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 You've hit the nail on the head with that one.
Just don't give the guy money anymore.
Don't drink. Right? Don't do stop. I don't do it, so I don't see why you people don't do it. Yeah, I've fallen into that trap several times.
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially when it's so far, because there are things about gambling you can understand.
Yeah. Right?
Especially when it's a certain type of gambling. Mm. But others, for example, the machines.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for me, like you, Andrew, to say, but why does that? But that's a real thing, yo. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like this movie, mm-hmm. this performance, the way everything congeals, like this movie is Adam Sandler's Safe for me, right? It did that, and
just like, this gambling thing is for real.
Like, Like, oh my god, this movie is amazing. I adore it end to end. There's so many scenes I could talk about, but I want to give Douglas a chance to, to do his shitting on this movie.
What shitting is there to be done? This is...
I saw no heart on Letterboxd. I am prepared.
Listen, I've watched Safety Brothers movies before.
Safety Brothers. Thank you, Douglas. Thank you. Why? Douglas keeps doing... I want everybody to know how my brain works. If someone at any point makes some ridiculous statement about someone's name or anything, instead of my brain just going, all right, fine, and then putting that to the side, I will replace the actual thing and then come on to say a podcast and forget that I'm talking to people who don't know what I'm talking about and sound like a lunatic or go out in public and mentioned thing, and then people are just like, what did you just say? And you're just like, oh, that's right. I've been saying it for so long that I've forgotten that that's not the thing.
Yep, let's make this a thing.
And Douglas has done it with Safety Brothers. I'm never going to not call them that. I don't know how I didn't see it before. That is what I'm disappointed in myself. Fuck you, Douglas.
You're welcome. Ooh, okay. So, yeah, the Safety Brothers, they made this movie, which, so here's the thing, right? I love, absolutely adore Good Times. It does, it is expertise, right? At its best. The how they build the tension with every scene, with every decision that is made by these two stupid people. And literally, I felt like for that whole, however long that movie is, you're on the edge of your seat, right? That is also what they were doing here. And it didn't quite work as well. And because of that, I would say, like Gary Oldman from The Fifth Element, I was disappointed. Right?
Mediocre.
Boo.
Disappointed.
Boo this man.
The sad thing is, I actually have nothing bad to say about this movie. Right? Everything you guys have said so far is 100% true.
Both teams played hard.
Adam Sandler is killing the game in this. They do well on the reveals. Everybody's acting so well. There actually is, right? There is a build-up in tension. And to be honest, that all is side trash, right? The focal point of this movie is Adam Sandler. This movie lives and dies on whether Sandler can not be Adam Sandler, right? And can carry it. And he does. And he does it with... like, just, he makes it look easy. He makes it look like this is what he does every time he's on screen. And that is probably what disappoints you the most, isn't it?
Yes. Because they're like, oh, that's right. He that is why people are just like, yeah, dog, we need to nominate you. I'm just like, no, he does this all the time. And then you watch the movie, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yep. I mean, even things like the way that he, and Andrew said it, how annoying he is to other people, but the way that he moves, the way that he, his face contorts, his facial expressions, and he moves his tongue around in his mouth, and it, just simple things like that.
He feels dirty.
He does.
At all times. which
and
can't be
he's
easy.
Always kind of moving and twitching, and it's this movie, right?
Yeah.
The more I talk about it, the more I feel like I'm going to end by saying this movie is the greatest movie ever made. But it's definitely one of those movies, and it's, I feel like you felt when you, or like, I feel like how I heard you feel when you were talking about Good Times. Because I remember when we spoke about Good Times, you essentially said the same thing. You're like, well, I mean, They did it good, yeah. But yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of how me. I feel that this one just didn't. It didn't do it for me, and it was probably also. It's all about the bars, right? So, Good Time set a certain bar. So I wasn't coming into this movie. I wasn't like you, right? I wasn't coming into this movie saying, "Well, if it's all right, I guess that'll be better than I thought it was." Mm-hmm. I came into this movie thinking, shit.
This is Good Times 2.
Can they outdo Good Times?
Yeah,
and right? And especially because I knew this was like Good Times, mm-hmm. that this was just tension upon tension upon tension. I knew that it was the same concept in terms of
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the movie, because obviously two separate situations, mm-hmm. but what the movie, the emotions the movie's right. supposed to bring
it
out
is
in you.
Shitty men making bad decisions.
Yeah.
The movie.
And then when you watch it and you're like, oh, I suppose it's good, but it's probably 50% of Good Times. Mm-hmm. Then you kind of feel deflated.
Why
at
I
end.
Really need to watch Good Times.
But this is a movie that I really want to watch again because I feel it deserves my admiration. It deserves my respect. It deserves me to say that this is a Thump-approved movie.
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
Douglas, we're talking about a movie in which a man is chased down by the people who he owes money mm-hmm. to, stripped of his clothes, mm-hmm. locked in his mm-hmm. trunk, calls his wife, yes. and the wife kind of just shrugs when she sees yeah. him come out naked.
I also... So, piggybacking off what Andrew just said, it wasn't until later in the movie where it was revealed that they were related where I understood why they didn't take his chain and his Celtics ring.
Because
mm-hmm. they took everything else off of him. But they specifically left those things and was like, oh, that's right. Because he doesn't really want to hurt this man. This is just where he is because this man is garbage. And he's running around placing bets with his money.
Yep.
Which... and Andrew spoke to this before. It, for a long time, I used to watch movies. And this is just, you hope you get this with time. As you age, you get a certain appreciation for the struggles that you don't understand when you're a child. You can't expect children to watch a movie about alcoholism and go, yeah, I know, I understand the dangers of these things. Because you're a child, you don't understand anything. And so, When you see people that are this crazy and are gambling this type of money on things that are to everyone outside of men like this ridiculous, because it is life and death for him and he's willing to stake his life on these bets. But for regular people, you're just
beyond his ridiculousness. Parts of the bets is winning the tip.
Yeah. Oh no.
Right, we're not even getting into like sensible sports bets.
So, and
he's like, I'll take a 50-50 gamble on
Andrew,
the tip.
First of all, there's no such thing as sensible sports betting. Because it is sports. Someone could get injured and then your bet is gone to shit. Right? So no matter how confident you are in a team being better than another team, it is a physical activity. If Pat Mahomes go down in the Super Bowl, that game is a wrap. Like, and you just be like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. I knew the football robot is going to win. And so let me put 100,000 Jamaican on it. If 2 minutes in he gets hit, you'd be like, at least I would be like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever done. But real gamblers are like, next time I'll plan better. I'll know that it is the conditions that led to this. But watching him at every turn see the money and his first instinct is, I know how I can make more money by gambling on sports. What's the name? Bet365. Mm-hmm. When they got big, before it was legit. There was like a period where it was still in the gray area where they wouldn't advertise it on TV, but you could place bets. I remember looking at one of those sites one day And I was just like, this can't be real. Because you could bet on anything. Pass completion percentage. Like, literally anything you can come up with. Somebody be like, we've crunched the numbers. We'll take your money. And I'm just like, I thought I liked sports. But I am incorrect. But my problem is similar to Douglas's problem. We've spoken about this before. Me and Douglas are shitty at gambling because we only look at the money we lose. And so we don't assume we're going to win. We worry about the money we're going to lose. Clearly, people who are better at gambling don't focus so much on the part. They're betting to win. I'm betting to not lose, and that is why I don't bet. I can't. But even when I'm 1,000,000,000% sure and I'm right, just time after,
you know,
I'm
like,
just like, I can't
who
do
who kills who in Game of Thrones when you're 1,000,000,000% sure?
Yeah, but that was a fun bet. Right?
It's still gambling.
Yeah, but...
it's still a vice.
But that is not something that I'll do again and again and again. Like, I don't get my rocks off with my money. If it weren't you idiots, I wouldn't have placed that bet. Plus, you guys are coming, and it's at dinner. Like, dinner bets are fun. I've made dinner bets to con women into coming out with me. That's fine. Dinner bets are fine. But it is surprising to hear that Douglas is the one that's donor.
Yeah.
Because Douglas loves one Crazy Night movies. This, while it's not one singular night, it is a lot of craziness.
What I will say about this movie, right, is that we have neglected to call out the star of this film. Shout out to, and this is, I checked it, this is in fact his name, that Wayne Newton looking motherfucker. Anybody watching this movie will know who I'm talking about. He is just amazing. Playing the high roller in not Vegas, but Vegas, the beta version, the shitty beta version.
Atlantic City, I think, is where...
No, I don't think it's AC. I think it's just... well, it's close to New York.
Right.
It's probably... no, is it AC?
I think it's some New Jersey place. It would be near enough to Boston that you could fly to. It's probably AC. But
It might be AC, actually.
Wherever, and that's the only place where
Wayne Diamond is his name.
That's the only place where shitty casinos is near there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no casinos in New York and Boston, I don't think. But I don't live there. I'm just going based on what I learn off the TV. And that's how Donald Trump got elected.
I'm trying to find out the one guy who I want to shout out from this movie, which is one of the thugs, what I'd like to call the main thug.
Slim Thug.
Bone because
and Harmony.
I adored every moment of that guy on screen.
And he got
just
his
terrorizing Adam Sandler.
He got his in the end, and I was very happy for him.
Like, I love that end of that movie so much because the first time I was watching it, I was sitting there and I was seeing this all go on and I was reveling in it. And I just had him in the back of my mind. I know what's
going
to happen.
Keith Williams Richards.
He thinks he's outsmarting him.
Yeah.
I know what's about to happen. And it happened.
Keith Williams Richards is this who I think you're talking about.
Yes.
This movie ends exactly how it's supposed to.
Yeah, it does.
I also was impressed with his actual wife's performance. Like, just the hatred she had for him.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah, in every single frame. Like, I don't know what the direction was before they hit action. The Softy Brothers, probably.
I'm pretty sure what they did is they just told Sandler, like, do me that water boy bit for like 20 minutes.
Bump mics. All right,
camera on, go.
They probably just said, who is the biggest piece of shit you know? And she probably told the story, I just, pretend he's that. Because there is, it when it feels like when it feels real, that is when you know either somebody is definitely acting the shit out of something, or they've stepped over the line where they're no longer acting. That is legit disdain for another human.
In terms of getting acting ability out of these people,
yeah.
The Salty Brothers just, I mean, they did, they're amazing, right?
Oh, Lord.
This movie is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I love it end to end.
His piece of shit.
Adam
kids.
Sandler is a goat.
Everybody. I'm so. Tilda Swinton is in this
yes,
movie.
Yes, she is.
She's the voice of somewhere. The auctioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, movie.
She's the voice of the person that never wants to work with yeah. Adam Sandler again.
Oh. Yeah, I did hear Doc Rivers is the actual coach.
Yeah, yeah, he was a
his
coach
voice
on
was
the,
in there.
Yeah. No, he was on the television.
I don't know if his voice was there. He was there for a half second, yeah. But his voice was, he was the one.
I just have one quick question, Damien. Yes. When they got to like the end of the movie and you were watching these playoff games,
yes.
Do you remember what the result of the game was? Because obviously I didn't know what was going to happen in these games.
So these games are fake games.
Oh, they're yes. Fake games. I thought these were like real playoffs.
I mean, the scenarios are like, real, we got but KG. The scores and everything is fake.
Oh, okay.
They
just pulled game tape from 2012.
No, so none of that is taped. That is the crazy part. Because Garnett doesn't fucking age. They shot all of that.
They basically filmed the two basketball games.
Yeah. To play. It's crazy.
Once again, another reason to prove why the Safdie brothers
I'm sorry,
are the
who?
Best brothers. The Safdie brothers.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah, cool. So clearly, mm-hmm. That's what the Sosa brothers yeah. Blew all of the budget on. Because
you mean the Shakti brothers?
Yeah, man. So the Sample brothers.
The Shampoo brothers?
The Champagne Room Brothers.
I hate you.
Are you in? Because I can't see it.
Because you can see that the actual, what's the word? Actual quality of the filming
yeah.
Is about the same as the last few movies.
Yeah.
They were just like, why don't we just give it to people so that they actually come do our shitty movie?
It really is fantastic, this movie.
The Salty Brothers.
Stop it.
The Scruffy Brothers. this won't stop until we hit Mario Brothers and then we're going to turn off this podcast.
And they ended up winning at the Independent Awards.
Sorry, what?
Which means nothing.
Andrew. Andrew, why?
Are you saying IA got on their ass?
Independent Awards. That's not real. That's not a real award. That's like the Tumper Awards. Like,
yep. Like, yep.
I can make up awards to my bullshit.
We did exactly. Make up awards.
The most Neesons. Congratulations to Liam Neeson for continuing his
is there anything else
run.
We want to kind of knock out in this movie? Because I feel like we could spoil the whole movie.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that.
It's on Netflix.
The Weeknd is in it. He sings
a
song.
Right. Yeah.
So if you like,
and I love how this is supposed to be in the past. So they say, "Hey, there's this guy named The Weeknd. He's gonna be big,
right?" And at some point, Stanley's like, "He'll never. No DJ will play him in this city. I know all the DJs." And it's like, "Well done, guys."
I love that scene because I love when Julia Fox comes out with him of the club, and she like murders the taxi.
Yep.
To keep, like, that felt like one of the few scenes where I'm like, I think they just sent him outside and, like, they fucked with a taxi driver that night.
This movie is... It is very good. I know I'm concerned that I had the wrong take on a previous movie, but unlike Andrew and Douglas, I am man enough to apologize when I get things wrong.
I'm man enough to hear your apology.
Yeah. You still think Warhorse is a good movie, so I don't want to hear anything from you. Douglas
I've not rewatched it, so...
It was the first one of the Avengers movies Douglas had to come on, and it's like, all right, I'll fuck that up.
The first one. The first one.
And
no one needs to apologize for the second one.
And I was just like, I got my bad on The Witch, and Andrew still refuses to apologize for Warhorse.
Okay, so I don't know why, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, I wonder, is Julia Fox... Oh, she can't because that's not his name. But anyway, it led to this, right? I thought to myself, could Julia Fox be Michael J. Fox's daughter? Mm-hmm. Which, again, can't
see,
be
there,
because...
I thought Red Fox, but
there
okay.
You go. But clearly, because Michael J. Fox is not actually Michael J. Fox's mm-hmm. name, now that I think about it.
Right.
So, yeah, question. Have you been watching Lock and Key?
No, I have not watched it yet.
Ah, damn it.
Haven't touched it yet. Right. Is it good? Tell me it's good.
I don't know if I can tell you lies. I've been watching Lock and Key.
What I should have asked you when you brought that up to me the first time, is it better than The Umbrella Academy?
Mm. Another show I've not watched.
Don't.
So, here's the thing, right? I will say yes, and I will say no.
Don't do this.
And here is why. The Umbrella Academy is so fucking bad that I went to the end just for the spectacle of it.
I couldn't believe that they were doing this.
Exactly. Right? Not only that, I will probably, for just reasons I can't even fathom, watch the second season when it comes out because...
You need to justify like, the time you spent in the first season.
This show is not that bad. This show is nowhere near that bad.
Okay.
And if it continues to be what I think it is, I probably won't finish the season. But I am pretty deep into it. I'm probably 5 episodes or something like that in. And what I will say for this series, Andrew, is that, and you don't share Damian and my affinity to these kind of things, so maybe you won't understand, but when I said it to him, I explained it like this. You know how me and Damian love Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or whatever the chilling adventures of Sabrina are called?
I've heard you mention it from time to
time. No, that's not because it's good. Right? It is not good.
It is not.
I assume in general when you talk about things, it's not because they're good.
But there's just something about it, right?
I like her.
Yeah.
And stupid Aaron Neville.
Yeah. So, this show is like that, but I just don't like it. You know? It's the same. It's probably the same caliber of show, but... whatever the magic is with Sabrina, it's not there in this one. Or at least it isn't there yet for me. And that's sad because I love that comic book. And again, me and Damon were talking about this before. It's weird to say that I love the comic book because I remember really enjoying and speeding through the first series or whatever you call that, the first collection. But I'm pretty sure I just kind of stopped in the middle of the second one and haven't picked it up yet, which means that something somewhere made me lose interest in it. So, yeah. I'm not sure about the show, guys. It's essentially a children's show. But if you think about it, it makes sense because, again, maybe because it's comic books and you don't have to cringe at watching young people not act well because it's drawings, but it's mainly children in this show, you know? And I would say it's probably geared towards young adults.
That's not what I want.
Yeah.
Douglas, tell them to fix the show. That's not...
Tell them before I go on there. It's not what I'm here for.
Well, I've done it before. I mean, they took out the water bottles from Game of Thrones.
And turn up the brightness.
Remember Game of Thrones?
We had some fun times.
No, that Watchmen is over forever.
So, Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you take us away?
Oh, is this podcast number two?
No.
What no.
else have you been watching?
Oh, I have not really been watching.
Lock and Key.
Yeah.
Which you don't advise anyone to waste any time on.
I haven't really watched anything else. Only thing I suppose I could talk about is another Netflix show. It's a British one this time. It's called Safe. No, sorry, it's not called Safe. That's the other one. This one is called something like Stranger. I link those two because apparently they're actually written. They're based on books by the same guy.
No, it's just how generic these titles have been getting.
So the Safe one I watched some time ago. That one has Dexter in it. Mm-hmm. And that one was actually okay. This one, I think it's a fairly short show, like maybe 6 episodes. Somewhere in the 4th one, I just realized, you know what? I don't like this show. And I pressed stop. I stopped and moved on with life. It's the premise is that a stranger goes around and either blackmails somebody or tells somebody something horrible about like what somebody's done to them. So it opens with this girl walking up to this older man and letting him know that his wife, who at some point he had trouble with, faked a pregnancy so she'd stay with him. Mm-hmm. And of course they kick off, and that's where it kind of starts. But there's no straight line, right? You get to see her blackmail other people, her tell other people bad things, and it's clear that the object of this show is at the end of it to link all of these people that she's telling bad things to or doing bad things to. But I haven't got there, and you know what? To be quite frank, I don't think I need to. It's not that good. So Netflix, boy, last two shows that I've been watching haven't... You're 0-2, guys. Got to do better. But outside of that, I haven't really watched much. I've been watching the same old fare of shitty movies that I love. And sports.
Sports.
Sports?
I love sports.
All right, so I have a few things I want to talk about. So let's get this off the bat. Nothing I'm about to mention is good.
All right.
I'm going from the worst. No, I'm going to go from the best to the worst that I have in my list. I watched Bombshell.
Why? Right?
The movie about Fox News and the taking down of Roger Ailes. I watched it because I could, okay? I went and I watched this movie, and the most I can tell you is the acting is really good.
Okay.
Like, it's really well acted. I was surprised that they couldn't make me hate Kate McKinnon for the 2 scenes she's in. Like, this movie couldn't be bad enough to make me just dislike. Like, this movie has things in it. Charlize Theron is great. Margot Robbie's awesome. Kate McKinnon is great. And I sort of liked John Lithgow as, like, this cartoonish devil of a man. Because they make up him amazingly. And like, but at the same time, I almost want to say good things about this movie. Because it is a better version of Vice. In that... You know, Vice had that whole talk to the camera thing. They wanted to preach up their ideas. But at the same time, the people who are watching this movie, we all sort of agree and know what's going on. Like, I don't know anyone who comes to this movie going like, you know, it was a crime what happened to Roger. Right? Like,
Trump.
All right, true.
He doesn't watch news.
True. Trump. But what if they told him it was a movie about Fox News? Like, would he watch it?
He doesn't have the attention span.
Like, that's the thing about a movie like this. Like, everyone does well.
By the
way,
my US visa just got revoked.
No, that was Damian White. Douglas has real work to do.
You have to go visit our cousin. But yeah, it's not a great movie. I mean, it's the best they could have gotten from a movie like this. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when earlier I was talking about Oscar bait trash. Yeah. Like, this is that movie, but it has all of the acting and stuff.
I used to agree with that statement, but then Zero Dark Thirty was made, and I realized that people can make it. It just takes talent. Like, that Zero Dark Thirty could have been one of those pandering 9/11 Osama bin Laden terrible movies, but they aimed higher and got something and made something special out of what could have been paint by numbers. This is bad. Then we shot him.
I forgot to mention the best also, thing about this movie, they cast Richard Kind as Rudy Giuliani. He's only in there for like one scene or two, but it is just beautiful to watch that man.
Not The Big Short. What was the Margin Call? Is another movie where many movies were made about the housing crisis and whatnot, but Margin Call was a cut above because someone tried. You can always make bad movies.
We're talking about Dr. Spock, right?
Yeah.
No. Just because you fucking like Jeremy Irons.
I mean, I do love Jeremy Irons.
That any movie with him in it is good.
You said that.
No.
But you can't prove it.
I understand, right? I, too, liked when he said, "Talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old."
Yeah.
I also liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the rest of the movie.
I think you're mistaken. It's nowhere near as good as Zero Dark. I mean, that one is truly the special one. Sorry.
So moving Mourinho down the list. One. Moving down the list in badness.
Down the line.
There was a movie by the name of Anna by Luc Besson.
Yes.
Yes.
That
movie is not good.
It's not good and...
That
it's not good, but
is a Luc Besson movie. If they refuse to give Luc Besson any money to make a Luc Besson movie or time to write a new Luc Besson movie, so he just kind of pulled up one of the old Luc Besson movies to do. This movie's not good. There's no buts.
Okay.
But it's so fun.
It's like Fast and Furious, where it's obviously not good. But that's not what I came here for.
Andrew, listen. I'll give you another shot, right?
Yeah.
Remember Damien? Damien came here first off the bat and said, fuck this Anna movie. Yeah. It's not that good.
Yeah.
It's not... Then he watched it again and realized what I saw.
Exactly. It's like, oh, this movie was never trying to be good. Yes. This movie is stupid.
So go back and watch your shitty movie and come and tell me how much you love it.
Yes, that movie's dumb.
That movie is this close away to being purchased. I really like that movie. Again, it's bad. I agree, Andrew. But oh boy, is it bad.
If that movie were actually funny, it would be Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's what that movie
would be. It makes about as much sense.
All right, and the last movie I want to talk about is Deadpool 3 with women in it. Mm-hmm. It's Birds of Prey.
You notice it's the last one.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Wuss Arrest. Please, Andrew, enlighten us.
I want to love this movie so hard. I feel like I'm hard on this movie because I wanted it so much. This movie had everything I needed. It had ridiculous comic book characters. It had
Michelle Hadid.
It had Lady Deadpool. Like, we want to say Domino from Deadpool 2 is Lady Deadpool. Harley Quinn is Lady Deadpool. She's just a maniacal woman who doesn't care about the plot of her own movie and is just like, I just want to stay alive, and she wants to have fun. right? Literally, the plot of this movie is people find out that she's no longer with the Joker, and suddenly everyone she's upset is coming after her. That is the plot of this movie. Right? There is a point in this movie where I suddenly realized I just didn't like it. And it just became the next hour and a half of me sitting in the theater being like, why am I here? Everything about this movie should be good, but I just was not into it. The film has the same idea as Deadpool, where in that the movie will continuously stop every time something happens to be like, oh, I didn't tell you about this. So, like, you'll see Mary Elizabeth Winstead make an assassination as a huntress. And they'll be like, oh, we didn't tell you about where she came from. And then it spends 10 minutes explaining the backstory of the huntress, which you don't need because we don't care. We don't care the backstory. It's not fun to hear the backstory of every single character in this movie, because that's exactly what it does. Every single character you see, you have to have a 10-minute backstory explanation. This movie wants to have fun with moments where you see someone appear who is coming after Harley Quinn because he has a grievance. So the movie continuously has people randomly appear, and she has to like tell us what the grievance is she made to this person, and everyone leads into a backstory. Like, they can't just leave us to kind of have people be ridiculous. They have to stop the movie and have backstory for no reason. And then when eventually it gets to like action scenes, where some of them, I'm going to be clear, they're pretty good. Like, there's that action scene in the prison when she's going after the young girl, which is pretty fun. There's the cocaine filled action scene, which you see in the trailer, where she's like she's sniffing up cocaine that's in the air and things happen. It's fun. Even the end of this movie, when the final battle is going on, it's fun. Ewan McGregor is chewing through scenery. The problem is, he's chewing through scenery in a movie I was not enjoying. So there wasn't enough time for Ewan McGregor to save me. Right? This movie is a movie where I feel that either I will forever hate this movie, or I'll come back and I'll apologize for it in another 6 months when I watch it again. But it just wasn't for me this time.
So, a couple of observations. One, you obviously, for the last week, have just been in a frame of bad mind. Right?
Because... I mean, I've been like putting movies I love, like Police Story and Casino Royale, in the middle. So, you know, it kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. To be fair, if you watch a movie as good and as shitty as Police Story, right? And then you watch other less shitty movies, maybe that's what happened, yeah. Right? But you watch Anna and you thought, fuck this movie. And then you watch this, Birds of Prey, which, I mean, I haven't watched it, so I can't say whether I like it or not. Uh-huh. But just based on how you talk about it, Everything while you were talking, it was like me and Uncut Gems. Everything you said was good. And then you're like, yeah, but fuck this movie. So you just sound like you just decided to badmind every movie this week. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the first thing. The second thing, which has nothing to do with you, I just want to talk about Birds of Prey now.
The movie you've not seen.
Yeah. The movie, okay, I haven't seen. Cool. I think the funniest thing about this movie is the shenanigans that is going on right now with its name. Right? So I have been reading some internet posts about how they've decided that the box office has not been doing well enough, and so that means they need to change the name. And weirdly enough, I kind of agree with them. Because, so the name, first of all, the name is not just Bird of Prey, right? It's Birds of Prey, and then there's a subtitle, something like The Fantabulous Story of the
Emancipation of the One Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but that is amazing, right? First off, whoever went to bat for that name, it's props, right? It's really cool. But a lot of people are giving them shit because they're like, oh, they're making the assumption that people are stupid. But guess what? I think they're actually right. Because I have passed the marquee, because I think this is out here already, mm-hmm. right?
And I have also seen things on the internet where when it says bird of prey or birds of prey, on multiple occasions, the first thing I think is, what fucking indie movie is that? And there are times when I just move on with life. And then there's times when I say, oh, wait, no, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So they have now decided to change it. And I don't know how, like, all-encompassing this is. I don't know if this is that they're doing it in certain areas. I don't know if this is that they're trying to actually wholesale tell you the new name is X. But they're changing the name to Harley Quinn, and then the subtitles is Birds of Prey. And I'm sorry, I'm here to tell you that that is the smartest fucking thing. They should have started with
that. That's a better name.
That's a better name. It's a less interesting name, right? Because I love the whole Fantabulous whatever, whatever. Right. But you have
more recognizable.
Exactly. You have immediately, from day one, told me this is comic books.
Yes.
Right? And so if I wanted comic books, I will go to it. But if I am a regular person, and I'm sorry, Andrew, Damien, the three of us are not regular people.
I'm aware of this.
If we wanted to go to a movie, we would go to the movies and watch that specific movie right. that we want to watch, right?
If I went to Caravan and saw Birds of Prey and saw like an indie poster, mm-hmm. I'd go,
yeah, but no.
Let me go watch this. But that's for three people.
But not even that. Forget about that. If it is we went to the movies for Birds of Prey, it's because we went for Birds of Prey.
Right.
Right? Normal people don't do that, apparently. Right. Normal people just go to the movie and decide.
Right.
Now, if you go to the movie and are faced with a decision between, and I know it's not out, but I'm just saying, Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw or Birds of Prey, which one are you going to watch? The one that says Fast and the Furious because I love all eight of them. Not Birds of Prey that probably has like, I don't know, fucking Anthony Hopkins and Sir.
Is this a documentary?
you know, like, you know. Yeah. But if you say Harley Quinn or Fast and the Furious, at least now I know what ballpark we're playing in. I know exactly what it is. And if I am in the market for a shitty action movie based on comic books, I'll go to that movie.
You should have just put Batman Presents.
So as shitty corporate as this is, it's probably
marketing.
The best thing they could have done. And it's what they should have done from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I really think that this story is amazing. I really do.
Yeah, the aim is to make money. And it happened with one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years, where it was, they changed the name that was perfectly acceptable and I love to Live, Die, Repeat.
No, did they actually change it? I like Live, Die, Repeat.
No, I think that was like the title of the comic book and people kept clamoring for people to call it that, but I don't think they actually changed.
Yeah, I don't think
or maybe they put it on DVDs maybe.
Yeah, I think they put it on posters.
Okay.
Yeah. I do love that name though. I prefer that to the actual name.
You can't remember.
I can't remember the actual name. I know exactly what we're talking about.
That means that they were probably right.
Is it Minority Report?
Yeah, man. Top Gun, I think.
Running Man. That's what this is, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Die Hard, I think it's the
name. He just had for them to kill him. He kept coming back.
Tom Cruise in Die Hard.
But actually, obviously a lot of movies change names before they're officially released.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see like what those are, like if there are any fun ones. But the one that, so you got upset about that one. Mm-hmm. The one that I was upset about, and I only know this because we had gone to, me and Andrew went to TIFF, and this was on at the time. I didn't watch it at TIFF, but then watched it subsequently. And this actually is one of the shitty movies that I love that I've watched this week. So that's probably why it's on my mind. There was a movie with a perfectly good title, more than a perfectly good title, a perfect title for what it is. Mm-hmm. And it was called The F Word. Mm-hmm. It was a play on words because you think, oh, it's a naughty word. It's really talking about the friend zone, like F as in friend. That movie turned into What If, starring Harry Potter and Zoe Kazan, right? And I hate that name. What If? Fuck that name. The F word is so good.
It's a better
title.
But you can't put that up in certain parts of the country.
Really?
Probably. That's probably why they did that. Yeah. Because they're trying to market it to as much people as possible. And you can't put a movie called The F Word in Utah have anybody go into
it's
the
like
theater.
Harley Quinn. Fine. Yeah. But what if, like, what does that say?
No, what if it's a terrible name?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's probably
it's so sad because the movie is so good.
Yeah, that's probably the reasoning behind it. Yeah. They're just like, listen, this might limit the amount of places we can put this movie in. And the second you say limit to business people, they're just like,
no.
What? No. We give a shit about the director's integrity. And so we already paid him. I'm in it for the money.
Oh, by the way, Andrew, speaking of movies and TV shows, have you watched Happy yet?
I have not. I think I only watched like the first episode when it first came out.
Because going back to what we saw this week, if you like this Safdie Brothers movie, you will like Happy. It's the same.
We're talking the TV show, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the imaginary.
Mm-hmm.
How is Andrew not watching this?
Because he's a moron.
So let me get this straight. The Expanse and Happy?
Both sci-fi joints.
All right, dog. Like, sci-fi puts out a lot of trash, so when people are legit excited, you must know that they made something special.
Yep.
Like, these shows shouldn't have gotten to me or Douglas, but they did. Not because we're avid sci-fi watchers. In fact, the first time you watch those, you're just like, it says sci-fi, let me just pour through this. And then it turns out to be spectacular. Andrew, is that it? No TV shows, no nothing?
That's it.
That's it. Alright. Let me breeze through the nonsense that I've been watching. I watched that Michael Jackson documentary again because someone brought up Michael Jackson because they said that he's innocent. Them don't know why people are treating the man like that because he's innocent. And I said, I have a documentary that you need to watch. And let's just say these people aren't documentary people, but they're just like, all right, let me see what foolishness you have. And watching it a second time is way worse. If for people our age and older that love Michael Jackson before these things came out, you should give it. It is fascinating. And it doesn't prevent you from liking his music, no matter what anyone says. You get to decide that. That is a personal decision. Don't allow people to bully you into things. You can. It is possible to separate a person from their work.
But Damien, cancel culture.
I understand. That cancel culture is a thing. But you also listen to music for enjoyment and entertainment. And if his songs brought you that, then you, who is actually being punished by you not listening to his music? Only you. That is something personal to you. But watching it a second time, this time with people, I never had children. I don't know. Hopefully I won't in the future. Can only hope. Fingers crossed. Watching it with people who have children is a whole different experience. Because they got angry not only at Michael Jackson, but at the parents.
No shit. So I haven't watched the whole documentary.
No, but not how me and you.
I watched most of the first episode, and you just think to yourself, listen here, parent. No. So even like,
but
even
Douglas,
if
we, like,
even if all of the allegations are horseshit, right? You just think to yourself, you as a parent,
right?
You really allowing these things to happen,
Douglas? This is
with a yes, he's a famous and a rich stranger, but he's still a fucking stranger.
This is one of the things where, while you can empathize, because we've never had that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was angry and disgusted at these people. But Douglas,
I am talking legit, like, if someone, the person that went into that documentary was not the person that came out of the documentary. I'm talking different human beings. I was like, oh, that's right. I can only imagine what this is like because I don't have it. They weren't about it. So that was fascinating. People should watch it. If you did like Michael Jackson the person for any reason, that is a wrap. There's no massaging what happens.
Stop it. Yeah. There should be no massaging at all. Okay. That's inappropriate.
Listen, things happen. I watched Tom Papa's You're Doing Great. He's a comedian. He's been a comedian for a long time. His last special was bad. I have always liked Tom Papa. This is a return to form. There are several times where I had to pause the special because I was laughing so hard. That doesn't mean it's peak special, but he is legitimately doing work in this one. This one is not just a typical mediocre Netflix special. This one's good.
So speaking of Netflix specials, mm-hmm. Damien, you will know that I...
Yes.
Powered through what you did not, which is Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura's podcast.
Uh-huh.
Because of that, I know for a fact that in November, both of them taped Netflix specials. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait.
I mean, yes.
Also, I know that apparently Bert Kreischer has a show on Netflix coming out soon.
Okay.
Get ready.
We'll see. I watched another comedy special from a man I'd never heard of. He's a foreigner, let's just put it that way. His name is Veer Das.
I've seen that.
It's called A Broad Understanding. The only jokes that I enjoyed were jokes that there was some kind of overlap. So, because Britain colonized India, and Britain also colonized us. There are things that I don't think of specifically as being English because I've been here my whole life. That when you see another culture do it, you're just like, oh, that's right. And they mock it in the same way that we mock it. So there's jokes about tea and biscuits and some other stuff, and like a couple of cricket jokes. But it is clear that while this special is done in English for the most part, there's times that he leaves English behind and tells his joke. There's also a thing that he does where he puts the English-speaking people that came to the show in the dead center of the special and have them lit the entire time. And so whenever he's making jokes that he wants essentially white people to understand, like, they pivot the spotlight onto them and he kneels down as are. Listen, for you people, this is a that and this is a that, which is always fun. And they're good sports about it. But on a whole, I don't know if this would play more, because a lot of the jokes he's making is very culturally specific. And I am not a part of that culture. I'm not versed enough in their culture to know why some of the things he's saying is funny. And so a lot of the jokes literally fly past. But there are jokes, which is more than I can say for a couple of the comedy specials that I've watched. I know this is in rewatch section. I watched Hancock again, and I forgot how good half of that movie was. I was saying it to Douglas. It had been so long, Andrew, that I remember the movie not being good. And that is all I remembered. And then, so I started watching it and it started to come back bit by bit. But I knew while watching the movie that something happens in this movie, because the first half of that movie, I was legitimately enjoying myself. That movie is fantastic. And then the movie disintegrates and Like, I was disappointed all over again, which is not something that should happen while watching a movie that you've already seen. But the back half of that movie is so stupid. And it feels like they had two different people make, like, one person made the first half and then was promptly fired. And then they're like, fix that back half of this movie. And it was really, really disappointing. But I must say that first half of that movie is very, very strong. And part of me is like, could I delete half of a movie? Can I do that as a director's cut? Just go, all right, up until this point, it is great. And then just, no, this movie is over. I should try. Let's have a 1 hour movie on the box somewhere. But I really think people should, I mean, not the second half, but the first half of that movie is well worth your time. And the last movie, although technically the Michael Jackson movie would have fallen in rewatchables, but never mind. I sat down and I watched a bad movie. Now, it's a bad movie for me and Douglas. This is one of Andrew's favoritest movies of all time.
Oof, oof, oof. What's going on?
It is a movie we talked about recently. I think this movie came out like 2 years ago, something like that. The movie is called The Phantom Thread. No. I watched this movie because this was a special request.
I'm sitting forward now to hear the bullshit that is about to
special request
come through.
I don't like this movie. Like, this is not, there's no backpedaling or anything.
Okay,
like that.
All right.
That is not happening.
I will now relax again.
I found someone that might be related to Andrew. No, unfortunately for me, she's already spoken for, which is very disappointing. But she heard that I like movies, and she's just like, oh, there's this movie, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've always wanted to see it, and I hear that you like movies. And so she's like, I'm like, because I was expecting something like Madea Goes to Christmas or whatever, some pushes.
Madea means Ernest.
Right. And she's like, it's with this great actor. And I'm like, no, what is the name of the movie, though? And she's like, have you ever heard of The Phantom Thread? I started to laugh. I'm like, oh, that movie's garbage. And she's like, no, Daniel Day-Lewis. And the second that word came out of her mouth, I'm like, all right, never mind. I'm going to go and find The Phantom Thread.
I'm upset now.
And we're going to put on this movie. I had many, many questions. Were you born here? How long have you lived here? Have you ever seen Carib? And she explained to me that, you know, when she's around her husband, he is not a movie person. So he doesn't watch movies. She only watches the big dumb movies that she basically does to him what we do to Regs. We're like, this is the 18th time I've seen the Black Panther because of course. But she says, you know, she doesn't really have the time to, you know, watch, like, find and watch other movies. And it's not really a big deal, but there's times like she sees trailers and stuff. And she's like, oh, I want to watch that. And she was told that I, like, watch and keep all these movies. And when that was the movie, I was just like, I cannot believe that this is the thing. And then she watched the movie, and Douglas, no joke, damn near word for word what Andrew said. She's just like, this movie's fantastic. And I was just looking at her, just like, no, not like this.
This is how you die.
It's not okay. the thing that I did enjoy though was that when that movie ended, because I didn't delete it from, I don't know, you know, you just have movies on the box. I thought I deleted that movie. Did a quick search, it was on the box. And so, after Phantom Thread, is just nonsense. And she's just like, oh, you like that? But not like the obvious movies. She's just like, yeah, she watched this and I'm just like, I thought you said you didn't watch movie. I thought you didn't have the time. And you only, and she's like, no, certain directors, she makes a point. I was like, wait, so you know stars and directors? And she's like, yeah. Guess who is her favorite director? Madea.
Quentin Tarantino.
It is a woman, so that narrows it down a lot. Get one guess each.
Well, I mean, the most... Actually,
all right. Can I ask one question?
Hurt Locker.
Is it someone who's been working before the 2000s or someone who's been working after? Is it someone who's worked before the 2000s or only after the 2000s?
I can't tell you that. That narrows it down too much. It is not Catherine Bigelow.
Okay.
A female director?
Yes.
She liked Phantom Thread. Jane Campion?
Nope.
Yeah.
It's your friend. So cool.
What? So cool.
All right. So,
yes.
How long has she been married?
Long enough.
And, I mean...
Long enough. And this person...
How committed is she,
and this person
really?
Is my friend. He's like your actual friend. Like... A friend before school friends.
Yeah, but
friend.
I mean, you have her Netflix and chilling with you, so really and truly, Damien, how much of a friend is he?
Like, right. I literally grew up with this person.
we all have assholes in the group.
All those stupid, oh, my sister changing nappy type foolishness is literally what happened. I was, like, I'd met her before because I went to the wedding, but they like had children. They had children like immediately and then disappeared off the face of the earth. And now the kids are big enough, they don't have to haul them everywhere. They can just let them loose on unsuspecting people. And she heard that my grandmother was sick, and so the Sunday she came. And yeah, like finding it. It felt eerie to find some other Jamaican person that watches movies like us. And I told her, listen, anytime you want to come and watch terrible movies, you let me know.
You mean amazing movies?
No, I mean, when I say terrible movies, I mean The Phantom Thread specifically. That's the movie I'm talking about. That movie doesn't get any better. Like, not even.
I wanted to.
This is the third time now, and ooh-hoo. I don't. The second time was the best viewing I've ever viewed of any movie. I watched it with two carbon copies of myself, just screaming, fuck this movie, the entire runtime of the movie. Like, viewed it as punishment. Now, whenever I say movies that they don't know, they're just like, your people on your fucking podcast movie. Say it with. There was a time they didn't say it with disdain. No, they definitely do. Which is my sister. I have messages on my phone. My sister is like, Damien, have you seen Knives Out? And I'm like, yeah, that movie's amazing. And the next thing she wrote is that one of your podcast movies?
And you kind of just have to answer no. So
absolutely not. I said James Bond is in it. It's a who. It's an old fashioned who done it. It's fun. Yeah. So our podcast viewings have spilled over into some people in the real world. But Andrew, they exist. If we waited long enough or were quick enough on the draw, we could have found her. But all three of us fucked up.
And now we'll be watching Desperate Housewives for the rest of our lives. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. And sports. I mean, let's be serious. So, not the XFL, though. That's not sports. I don't know what that is. I know it's not sports. Oh, XFL. So dumb.
Sad. But I'm glad you finally seen the light and realized that the Phantom Thread is amazing.
Yeah. I've also asked her if she would come on this stupid podcast, and she seemed open to it. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. She has two boys, 7 and 9, which is probably, she means it's probably never going to happen. I don't think she'll be able to give up any day between like 3 hours or any day and have small children. I doubt it. But maybe in 10 years.
The only way would be to call her in.
Yeah. No, I said, listen, anytime you have time, I would love for you to come on this podcast to prove that people like you exist. To give the three people listening to this podcast hope that there's someone out there.
I got Renata to watch The Phantom Thread. She promptly fell asleep.
Of course, this movie's trash.
She watched it and she's like, this is about some toxic relationship, isn't it? And I'm like, you're not wrong.
You don't know how right you are. You're certainly not wrong. I need you to watch this, and no matter what happens in our relationship, you can say, well, at least it's not The Phantom Thread.
Actually, maybe you shouldn't have her watch that, because it could be highly instructional.
I think, knowing Andrew might be into that. Andrew seems like the type.
The wrong time, she's pulling me through. It's a small crime, and I got no excuse. And is that all right? Yeah, I give my gun away when it's a load. Is that all right? Yeah, you don't shoot it. How am I supposed to hold? Is that all right? Give my gun away when it's a load. Is that alright? Is that alright with you? Is that alright, yeah? Give my gun away when it's a load. Is that alright? You don't shoot it, how am I supposed to hold? Is that alright, yeah? Give my gun away when it's a load. Is that alright?